Ramsey TV.
Here it comes again. Here it comes again. I'm telling you, people will do anything, even believers, even teachers. They will do anything to make Romans 13:1 not apply to us or not apply to the governments that God has put in place. This is out and out rebellion, and it is borderline sedition. And here it comes again. Here it comes again, and it's being pushed by Clyde Pilkington in his Daily Goodies. Here it comes. I did not realize how bad this was. I did not. I have rarely seen scripture twisted so badly as this, to make Romans 13 not apply to national governments. What Clyde says it does apply to is absolutely nearly unbelievable. And yet, I am going to have to bring it to you because, again, Clyde is a teacher who has influence. And if people start believing this unscriptural disaster of a teaching, then they will think that we don't have to be subject to any governments whatsoever. We're immune to the government. In fact, all governments in the world are illegitimate. And so, isn't that great for us? Oh, that's great. Now we don't have to submit to the governments. And in fact, God didn't even put any of the national governments in place. No, they're all run, apparently, absolutely by Satan. This is not a direct quote from Clyde, but it is a quote from another guy that I've never heard of, last name Galantine, who Clyde reprints in his Bible student's notebook. And this Galantine guy says that no government is of God. This is just unbelievable. Okay, this is Martin Zender, at the edge of the bottom of the Floridan Peninsula, taking this topic on once again. This every once in a while raises its ugly head because people don't like to be subject. People like to think that since we're citizens of a celestial kingdom, ultimately, therefore, while we're on earth here, we can just do what we please. We're not subject to any government because not only are they not of God, but they're illegitimate. This is the exact word, illegitimate. Going to read it from a quote of Clyde's in Bible Student's Notebook. I will remind you today, and we're going to go to a quote too from Alan Burns that Clyde published in a daily goodie. This is from September 3rd. I'm going to read that today. I don't know if I'll be able to get to the dreadful Galantine article, which Clyde promotes. Don't know if I will get to that today. Probably get to it tomorrow. But I've rarely seen scripture twisted so badly, other than, you know, the teaching that Christ did not pre-exist. So many scriptures obviously teach that Christ pre-existed. The twisting of that is so contorted and tortured and embarrassing that it's very, very bad. And then also to say, as Clyde has said, that half of Paul's letters don't apply to us. Again, scripture is twisted to an end that one personally desires. Also, the teaching that the return of Christ is 500 years away, for 500 years, also catering to a personal desire, and to also say that the era today is limitless, whereas Paul says it's limited. All of these twistings of scripture are, they need to be corrected. They need to be corrected because they are going out to the body of Christ, and some members, of course, are weak. They don't know the scriptures themselves, and so they will read something like this and say, "Oh, that sounds right," because they're not—they're really not careful. Not careful students. They don't know. They can't tell when something's being twisted and turned, and so here we go. I have to remind you of Paul's teaching in Romans 13:1. I have to establish this first, so then we will more easily see the departure from the truth. Again, the departure of the truth, I can't see what would be the appeal of saying, of really twisting this so badly to say that Paul's not talking about governments, national governments in Romans 13, except that you don't like the idea of being subject to governments. And as I go, I will be pointing back to our Lord and Paul, who were always subject to national government. It was not the Romans that were after Jesus Christ or Paul, because neither our Lord or the Apostle Paul withstood the national government, the Roman government. In fact, our Lord said, "Render unto Caesar's what is Caesar's." Joseph and Mary followed the law. They went to the census. They participated in the census. And so we know that governments suck. That's not the point. The point is that God puts sucky governments into place for his purposes, and that when you go with the flow of what God has done, and Paul has to make it clear in Romans 13, he has to make it clear that there is no authority except under God. He has to make that clear, because otherwise, yes, you would look at the government and you say, well, this government is a mess. This government is not doing what I think it should do. Therefore, I do not have to be subject to it. Paul says that we, the saints, are to be exemplary citizens. We are not to buck the systems. We are supposed to pay our taxes. We are supposed to obey the laws as unto God. Paul says the same thing concerning slaves and masters. Paul doesn't say, okay, slaves, obey your masters until they become jerks. Obey your masters until you think they've done something unfair. And when they have crossed the line that you yourself have decided upon in your most elegant, glorious, intuitive mind, then you can rebel. Then you can run away. Then you can do whatever you want, because that authority over you is no longer legitimate. No, no, no. It may not be the most exemplary government, but yet we are to be subject to it, because we're to appear in the world as luminaries. And Jesus Christ did not oppose the government of Rome, and neither did Paul. And I've said this many times as far as Romans 13 goes. Everybody starts Romans 13:1 at Romans 13:1. That is what Clyde is doing. That is what this Galantine dude is doing. This guy Galantine, he writes 13 pages explaining to you that Romans 13:1 doesn't mean what it says. Romans 13:1, let's just read it. Let every soul be subject to the superior authorities, for there is no authority except under God. That's simple. The superior authorities. And then later on, Paul says that the authority is wearing a sword. So I'm going to get into that later. It completes that one statement. Not in vain is the authority wearing a sword. It blows up Galantine's crazy article, ludicrous article. I'll get to that later. But the guy writes 13 pages to explain you that this doesn't mean what it says. And Clyde is promoting this guy, puts a link to that article in his BSN. I think it's number, what number is that BSN? Is it 487? I'll get to it. Don't worry. I'll get to it. For now, maybe I won't get past this today. Why is this important? Because this has to do with our deportment in the world. This has to do with us being luminaries in the world. It has to do with us not being involved negatively in the world. And if you're going to go against the civil authorities, then that is you being involved negatively in the world. And just because we are subject to the superior authorities, it doesn't mean that our realm is not inherent in the heavens. Paul is telling us here that God and Christ are the ones that put the governments into place. Therefore, we can know for assurance that when we are subject to the superior authorities, we are being subject by extension to God, because he's the one who put them into place. And you look back in history, and God has put lots of rotten governments into place. Nebuchadnezzar took Israel away, right? Went to Jerusalem, sacked it, robbed the temple of its goodies, brought Daniel and all the three kids, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, brought them to Babylon. And God had to humble Nebuchadnezzar. You remember, Nebuchadnezzar's walking his parapet saying, "Is this not Babylon the Great, which I myself have built?" God had to humble that dude, and that dude, Nebuchadnezzar, ends up saying in Daniel 4:35 that God is the one who works his will upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He came to realize that God was the one who put him in place. Now, wait a minute. What? God puts in place the guy who sacked the temple and kidnapped the great prophet Daniel? And then God told Israel, or the house of Judah, to be subject, to go to Babylon and to live quiet lives. Paul wants the saints today to live mild and quiet lives. That would include being subject to the superior authorities. And he told Judah to be subject in Babylon. Do your own thing, plant your gardens. I am with you. Don't worry. I'm the one that did this. I put the Babylonians into power. According to Galantine, God would never do that. No, 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 no. Satan did it because Satan is in control of this world. Who doubts that, relatively speaking, Satan is the god of the eon? Of course he is. But guess who's above that? Guess who uses Satan as his left-hand man to affect things on the earth the way he wants them? It is God. What about Pharaoh? Who put Pharaoh into power? God did, so that his people would have resistance, so that the great Exodus could take place. Time and time again. Oh, Pontius Pilate. Jesus Christ said to him, "You would have no power over me whatsoever if God had not given it to you. It had been given to you from above." Gee, all of these incidents in Scripture kind of, sort of, for sure, back up Paul's so-called radical statement that everyone's trying to explain away because they don't like it in 13:1 of Romans, that all authority, the superior authorities, have been set by God. There is no authority except under God. Now those which are, have been set under God, so that he who is resisting an authority has withstood God's mandate. When you see what Clyde and Galantine think that these authorities are, I mean, I'm just going to tell you right now, because it's shocking. I'll get into details tomorrow. I'm going to use the rest of the show to teach the proper thing about Romans 13:1. They think that the superior authorities are Paul and the other apostles, the people running the ecclesias, Timothy, Epaphras, whoever's running the things in the body of Christ, that this is the superior authority Paul is talking about. The good men of the Bible, the scripture boys, Paul and his ilk, who are exercising authority over the body of Christ. It is claimed that this passage is only for the body of Christ. It is true, Paul is writing to the body of Christ here, so I won't argue with that point, but the point I will argue with vehemently, as you can tell, is that the subjection that is being called for here is Paul saying, you must be subject to me. You must be subject to Timothy. You must be subject to the supervisors all over in the ecclesias, in Ephesus, in Corinth, in Galatia. Yes. Not true. It's a frickin' fantasy. And it exposes something about the people forwarding it. They really don't like being under the authority of rotten government. And I will tell you that the government in question here has to be rotten government, or else Paul's point is completely lost. Even some Christians who admit that this applies to the civil authorities, they will say, well, we only have to obey the authorities and come under their jurisdiction as long as they're good. And if they become bad, which of course we decide. Very subjective, isn't it? You decide when the authority crosses the line. Now you don't have to be subject anymore. My point is that the authorities Paul's speaking of must be bad, or else his point, which is a larger point, which begins in Romans chapter 12, which nobody understands that, rarely is that understood. I might be the only guy saying this. I might be the only guy who starts Romans 13:1 at Romans 12:20. It must be started. Anybody who does not start a teaching on Romans 13:1 at Romans 12:20 will be lost. They will lose the context. They will take Romans 13:1 out of its context, and then they are free to make it whatever they want to make it, including Paul saying here that the authority is him and Timothy and the other leaders of the ecclesias. So I'm going to give you a thumbnail of Romans 13:1. Tomorrow I'll go into detail of an article of a piece that was quoted by Clyde in Bible Students Notebook by Alan Burns called Aliens, which is an absurd little piece. And then we're going to go to a quote from Clyde in Bible Students Notebook. Then we are going to go to an article by Mr. Galantine. I'll figure out his first name by then, which takes 13 pages to tell you what Paul meant to say in Romans 13. Poor Paul. Poor Paul. In other places of Scripture, he tells people how to accommodate the leaders in the various ecclesias. He talks in 1 Timothy about how to appoint various leaders in the ecclesias. Paul is not doing that here. This is why. Romans 12:20. Paul says, you know what? Start with verse 17. Yes, I take that back. Romans 13:1 starts in Romans 12:17. To no one render evil for evil. This is the guiding principle as Paul goes into so-called Romans 13:1. But as you know, chapter headings are not inspired. The guiding theme, and unless you know this, you're going to get lost in Romans 13:1, as these other gentlemen have. Romans 13:1, the guiding principle is do not render evil for evil. And the examples are readily seen in the Scripture. Our Lord, Paul, they're being subject to evil governments. Jesus Christ being subject to the government of Rome. Paul, subject to the government of Rome. Daniel, subject to the government of Babylon. You see it over and over again. These men railed against the religious people, but the religious people aren't clothed with civil authority. Thank God. That's why we're always blessed to have the separation of church and state. That's going to change when the beast aligns with the whore of Revelation, but that's another topic. I made 800 shows on that. Go look at the Revelation series at martinsender.com. Romans 12:17. Oh, let's start at the end of 16. Do not come to pass for prudent with yourselves. Ooh, that is a great place to start it. Have I ever started it there? Wow. Do not come to pass for prudent with yourselves. And I might not get past this because this is such an important point. In fact, I'm going to stop with this point. This whole thing of trying to twist Romans 13:1 so that you don't have to be subject to superior authority, so that you can consider them illegitimate, is becoming prudent in yourself. In other words, you have set yourself up as a judge of who you are subject to and who you are not subject to. You set yourself up as a judge as to when you think the authority goes from being good to bad, and at that point, you no longer have to be subject to the superior authorities. This is prudency in one's own estimation. It is completely subjective. Some people like some forms of government and they hate other forms of government. That's not the issue here. In fact, the issue here is evil government. to not come to pass for prudent with yourself. I want to go on. I want to go on. But I need to stop there. But tomorrow I'm going to start Romans 13:1. In Romans 12, you're going to get a sound teaching on this, on this passage. You're going to see a piece of evidence in the passage itself which precludes the possibility of this referring to apostles in Paul's era. Again, I don't like exposing the wrong teaching of fellow believers. I don't like it, but I've been teaching on this passage for over 20 years. After I saw the connection between do not render evil for evil, after I saw that Romans 13:1 starts in Romans 12:17, I've taught correctly on this passage, but every once in a while, this raises its ugly head where people become prudent in themselves and they decide when they should be subject and when they should not be subject. This passage applies throughout this era. This passage does not come and go with the fashion. I've been told that. Well, this passage, Romans 13:1, this applied in Paul's day when the governments were decent. But now that the governments are so corrupt, now we don't have to worry about this anymore. What? Do you know who Paul was dealing with as far as civil authorities go? Nero was the emperor of Rome when Paul is writing this. Nero, great guy, right? What a pure government authority. Great guy, Nero, the Caesar. Oh, yeah, just look him up sometime. Look him up sometime. Find out who Paul is telling the believers to be subject to. Ladies and gentlemen, we are to be conscientious. We are to be lights in this world. We are to live mild and quiet lives. And in order to do that, we need to recognize that God has put all the authorities into place. And that it is not ours to wrestle with them. We can work with them if we want, but ours is not to wrestle with them and to not consider ourselves prudent enough to decide when they are to be obeyed and when they are to be treated with disdain and possibly sedition.